Blog Talk Radio.
Host Merle Exit. Well, I'm here in New York City. Actually, the sun is out. I think it's in the 50s today. Yes, November 7th, it's in the 50s. That was so much better than when we had the snowstorm. Thank goodness I wasn't here. But actually, in New York City, there wasn't that much snow. And also, I'm happy to report that my lights didn't go out. Even after, it's more than, I guess, at least 2 weeks now, and there's still outages in Connecticut. That's, I'm telling you, that's what we pay for. Anyhow, so what is the show today? Let's get to the show today. Well, there's a new off-Broadway show, and it's called Little House on the Ferry. It's always gay, I guess, on the trip to the Fire Island. I have not seen the show, but I will be hearing from the producer, Robert Gould, and the director and also writer, Jeremy Wechter. Boy, I'm looking at this thing and I got some spelling errors, which I'll fix later. And then we'll go off to Portland, Maine to talk with Norman Forgy. I spelled that wrong, okay, of Maine Day Trips, who showed me around the Portland area, and we'll chat about that whole thing. And so, but in the meantime, it's that time, yes, you know which. What would you do to earn brownie points? How about treating someone to what may be the best brownies they've ever tasted? Fairy Tale Brownies. They may seem like one of the richest bars of fudge, with varieties that include caramel, chocolate chip, espresso nib, raspberry swirl, mint chocolate, all made with Calbo dark Belgian chocolate. But yes, they are brownies. And that's no fairy tale.
Yes. And you can get these brownies at www.brownies.com. Now, let's see. I understand. Let's see. This. They got some new ones out there, so check for them. I think, first of all, they have that are sugar-free. They also have some different flavors. And because the holidays are coming up, you should really check out to see. A lot of times they'll have some great sales if you're in the Phoenix area. And also, I think Southern California, I'm not sure about the Northern California area, there you can get the brownies by going to the store. I can't, but I will be having chocolate. Yes, I will, because this Thursday, and today is Monday, by the way, this Thursday is the annual chocolate show in New York City, having it from Thursday till Sunday. Oh, yes, I dream of chocolate. And if you've never been to it, if you're in the New York City area and you love chocolate, this is it. I looked on the list, and there are going to be some quite interesting purveyors. One of them that I probably will have on my show, because they're sort of combining chocolate and nutrition. Now, how happy can I get to know that I'm going to be healthy having chocolate? Force me, you know, twist my feet. Well, I have to say twist my feet. It's a long story. Okay, I have a chiropractor, Joan Jacobs, and Joni does this. It's a holistic kind of thing. I don't understand. I don't really care, but she does it. And she puts these, I'm on my stomach. Just on my stomach, and she puts these, like, funny shoes on my feet. And she does this thing where she, like, just keeps twisting my feet. And it tells her everything that's wrong with my body. Somebody out there who's a chiropractor probably knows what I'm talking about. But I really don't care. I've been going to it for a long time. And I'm a happy camper about it. But so that's why I say from now on, twist my feet. I will, and I'm going to attempt to do something I've never done before. I'm going to do a radio show from there without the computer. So I will have the radio show scheduled, and then I will call in and really, well, I will, of course, not know if anything's happening. I won't be able to tell. But I'll basically use my cell phone as my microphone and just walk around, and I'll be interviewing some chocolate, some people at the booths, as well as perhaps maybe some of the people coming to the show. But the whole thing should be interesting. I'm more interested in finding out how long the battery goes for my cell phone if I talk. I haven't tested that out yet. So, in the meantime, so I'm waiting for our callers to call in at 3 p.m. Oh, you know something? I wonder. No, well, if they didn't change the calendar, they would have sent me an email saying, oh, wait a minute. So if 4 p.m., if they didn't change the calendar, be an hour from now that they'll call in. My luck, huh? Yeah, well, then they just don't get to do this. Oh, okay. So what will I chat about? So I went to Minneapolis, I went to St. Paul, and I went to Stillwater. And, of course, I will have people from the different areas on the show. Stillwater, I believe, is the oldest city in Minnesota. And it was a lumber town. That's what I remember. Not that I remember when it was a lumber town. Rather quiet town compared to the other two. And I would say, let's see, St. Paul is quieter than Minneapolis. Minneapolis seemed to have more of kind of downtowny things and theater, that type of thing. Now, it's not that St. Paul didn't have anything to do, but it's just, as I said, just kind of a little quieter. So eventually I'll get it all on my blog, too. God, I'm so backed up on blogs. I'm only up to I haven't completed Portland yet. Almost done with Portland. And then I will be going on to blogging St. Louis and Alton. And so, let's see. What, yeah, it's, here we go. It's, let me, oh, what did I say? Oh, I went to see a show called Swonderful, as in It's Wonderful. Oh, excuse me, I didn't sleep well last night. My cats love to sleep on my feet. It's hard to turn over. Anyway, back to this. So It's Wonderful is all Gershwin music. And it's, I guess it was done as a review. And it was at Queen's Theater in the Park is having some great stuff, some great shows right now. And so this, although I enjoyed the show, the talent and everything else, I was a little confused on, if you want to call it a plot, any plots. On it seemed there were some, so it wasn't like you were listening to like various numbers from like Porgy and Bess. But you did have a couple of songs from Porgy and Bess. It just wasn't sure how anything was kind of tying in, but it kind of didn't matter. So next show, what's coming up? Next week from this weekend, they're having Melissa Manchester, and I'll get to see that. And by the way, for anyone who happens to be listening in the New York City area, I have 2 free tickets to Swonderful. So if you email me at mexit@earthlink.net, and I still have the tickets, which go up until this weekend, I'll get you a pair of tickets. I get, be very easy to do it. I don't even have to send it to you. So we'll do that. So let's play a bit of music here. I was going to play the song that they gave me called Fire Island, but I wanted to save it for when they call in. I haven't listened to it yet, so let's hear what it sounds like.
Work is over, we're so mundane. Left the city, I took a train. A destination is on my brain. Beach and sun and waves.
And waves.
I catch the ferry to cross the bay.
I see your face.
Think, what's your name?
You dive me up. We play the game.
Distant mark, I feel a spark. When we're on fire. Island. Tell everyone you know.
Day.
Okay. I guess we're on fire. Well, so who is calling in?
Hi, it's Rob, the producer.
Hi, Rob.
Gold. How are you?
Oh, fine.
Thanks for playing our song, our theme song.
Yeah, I was wondering what happened to you guys.
Oh, we're busy trying to get people to the show, trying to get connections, trying to get people to have a night of the summer, June, in the middle of November in New York, which is what the show's about, Little House on the Ferry.
Oh, okay. So, now, Robert, you are the producer of the show, correct?
I'm the producer, and I helped write the book, which is the script, and I helped write the music. So it's a lot of me, but a lot of help also from a group of people.
Oh, okay. Oh, we also, by the way, is Jeremy going to be calling in too?
I hope so. I'm sure he's doing the same things. I saw just that he's going to be on the line if he can. I'll send him an email, but it's all about the music, and it was really nice that you played the song. There's 11 original songs when people come to the show.
Oh, cool. Did you have it on, by the way, you got it on a CD yet? Or?
We have flash drives. It's all on a flash drive. We call it a flash drive. It's the show flash drive. It's for sale. And then soon we're going to have the album, as we get down to the last days of the show, for sale online. The songs are about friends, love, about using steroids, about growing old and being vain. And there's a song about going to the after-hours party, which is like a late-night party in the Grove that is pretty, really hot and sung by Colton Ford. So there's 11 live songs at the show.
Well, how did the show come about?
Summer in Fire Island, and it's a really beautiful, beautiful place. And I thought about the music out there and telling a story and a universal story about when you go to away for a weekend, especially a beach weekend, about how you get very much thinking about life and for change. And I wrote a story about a man named Randall, who I made up, who comes out there with an older boyfriend and runs into his ex-boyfriend named Jake. And there's a dynamic of men and relationships and life in general that sometimes you have to go backwards to go forwards. So that's what I thought of, and I combined a lot of the Fire Island elements and the fun of it and the drama, which there is a lot on all beach weekends. And yes?
I said, I bet there's a lot of drama.
There's a lot of drama on beach weekends, and Fire Island, there's certainly a lot. So it was really, really a lot of fun. The show is a lot of fun. It's serious. It goes from drama to trauma to music back to drama. And it's showing until November 20th.
At
the American Theater of Actors. It's an off-Broadway theater right between 8th and 9th Avenue on the second floor. Tickets are available at the door and or online at www.littlehouseontheferry.com. And also you can hear the theme song there, which just played, for free. They can download the song absolutely for free. And it's about basically being on fire, Clap Clap Island, which if you listen to the song, it's really about the story in miniature. It tells you the whole, basically what you're going to see at the beginning, that it's in the surf and sand, you can find yourself a man. So that's part of the theme. But you have to be on the hunt for one. So,
mm-hmm. So now you said, is there dialogue in the show, I assume, right?
Absolutely. It's half music, half dialogue, and the other characters besides the love triangle are Colton Ford plays Max, who's the muscle boy of the house, and walks right into Antonio, who's brought with him by the main characters. And Antonio has a thing for Max, and we have to see how that develops, because Max, of course, likes to play the field, and, of course, Antonio being there the first time is smitten with the gorgeous Max. And then in the house also is the house mommy, Donnie, or Uncle Donna, and he is the friend and the soothsayer and the all-seeing and basically goes from somebody who's never been online to the middle of the online internet app world for meeting other people to date. So he has this story too.
Okay. And so how many, what's the total amount of characters in this? So
there's six leads and seven ensemble, and there's singing parts for everybody. Each character has a main song, and it's definitely a musical. There's dancing, there's costumes, there's singing, there is sets, and it's a lot of fun. There's a lot of dancing, more dancing than I think in some Broadway shows. So there's dancing the beginning, the end, and almost every song. And there's a great story about being one's friend, which is between Randall, the main character, and Donnie. So there's good songs. All the songs are different. They range from rap to a Latin beat to an 80s sound to basically that something's very Broadway. So there's a lot of different kinds of music in one song, one show.
How long did it take you to get the show together?
It took exactly a year from beginning to end. So it moved along really quick, and it's never been seen before. So this is its first incarnation, and there's a lot of stories told in one evening. So it's basically a quick show. It's 2 hours long runtime, but it explores issue from being vain, growing old, using steroids, falling in love, making friends, and, of course, making choices in life.
Is there any particular reason, like, why you picked, like, is it Fire Island just because it's, like, the beach thing as opposed to Provincetown, let's say?
Because there's a real disconnect with Fire Island in that when you get there, it's sort of you're there for the weekend, and it's a weekend story, very linear. You get off the ferry at the beginning of the show, and you get on the ferry at the end. There's a real tight timeline to most Fire Island weekends, as opposed to other places where you kind of drive in and out the ferry. And the way that the share system works, you're really there for a weekend, which is great to tell a story in 2 hours. It goes by from Friday afternoon arrival to Sunday departure, which is really good to write a story. Everybody can relate to that. It's very 48 hours in a two-hour setting.
And it's interesting that I don't know if they do this like any place else, that in when you go to like the Hamptons or Fire Island, it's all people share. They do shares.
Yeah.
You know, you go
for it's really,
your weekend, it's my weekend. Or
yeah. It really sets it up where you really don't know exactly what's going to happen that weekend. And it means different people are there with different relationships, and there's nobody really in charge. So you have people that kind of need to get along, and then you have people that evolve into family roles. Like somebody becomes more the matriarch, somebody becomes more the planner, somebody becomes more the child in a very quick time period where drama ensues, and people want physical relationships and emotional relationships all in one weekend, which is kind of what a story is about very quickly. But they're kind of sunk together in a very quick time frame when you go and do them in real life, and then that was easy to write the story around.
Do you find that this happens, by the way, with the shares and all that, is because of everything is rather expensive?
I think the shares don't have to be expensive. It's that people live in little apartments, usually alone in Manhattan, these little boxes, and they have a need to have family, and this gives them a little bit of a family scenario for a weekend, without of course dealing with their own emotional family.
Right.
But it gives them a need to have sort of a mommy, a daddy, a planner, a cooker, a chef, who's going to do the dishes. People like that, and they don't have that, you know, Monday through Friday or most of the year, and then they get it in the beach weekend. That's a need people have, and the shares give that, and that's part of story, because when you have different people and different characters, you have drama, love, hate, despite, gossip, innuendo, all in a 48-hour period.
I've never been a Fire Island person.
Right.
Only because I don't like the beach.
Mm-hmm.
And number two, there's not enough for me to do.
Right.
So I tended to spend time in going to Provincetown.
Yeah, the story is not really totally about the beach. It's really, it moves quickly in the middle of the first half away from the whole beach thing and goes into, especially in the second half, into how to resolve choices in life. And the beach weekend or the weekend away is just a setting that most people can relate to, that you're out of your normal time, you're out of work, and it makes people stop. And a lot of people that may not even like the beach, the sound of the ocean, which we use as a backdrop in the show, makes
right.
people really cathartic and realize that it's a time of change.
But in terms of the locale, I mean, it's not like there is, I'm assuming, there's like, you can't, there's no like boutique shops or, you know, places that have performances and things like that, are there?
There's a very little. It's really about, during the day, it's about being on the beach or walking around. There's a lot of nature walks. And then in the evening, it's about partying and cooking dinners. And it's a limited scale for a weekend, but it really lends itself to a story, because that means everybody's sort of on the same timetable. In the story, you know, a lot of stories, people end up at the same restaurant or the same store, very ironically. Here, that's very realistic because everybody is on the same timetable when you go to Fire Island. So that made the story easy. Everybody's at dinner at the same time. Everybody's at the club at the same time because there's very few places to go.
So, and I understand, like, Fire Island is sort of broken down into sections.
Yeah, there's 15 towns and nature preserves and wildlife refuges that split up different ferry services. Some are just basically where people can bring their boats. Some people can just go for the day, and some have housing. And each town is different, with different governments and different people that attract different groups. And two are historically gay, Cherry Grove and the Pines. And they're right next to each other, and that's where a lot of gay people like to vacation, and that is part of the story. Part of the story is definitely about the gay culture, but it's about a larger culture, about getting away, and when you are away, when a weekend ends, you're going to resolve a few things, sort of on a timeline. It's like a deadline. You know, am I going to stick with one person or go with the other by the time the weekend ends?
So now let me ask you a question, as again, since I haven't been. These aren't ferry boats where you can take your car, are they?
Yeah, that's unique. It's mostly all passenger service because Fire Island doesn't really have roadways. They have service vehicles, but they don't have roadways. Some towns have hard clay, some have asphalt, and a lot have wood boardwalks, which is what you find in Fire Island, in the Pines and the Grove. So there's no cars, everybody's walking around, and it has a real unique feel to it because you basically have to walk everywhere, and you see people at a very ground level, so it's very visual, it's very personal. And also you can see, you know, maybe 80, 90 feet in front of you as people turn corners. The boardwalks have a real vista to them. So you're looking, and you suddenly you're like, oh, my gosh, there's my friend from 8 years ago, or there's my neighbor. So you have a real visual. And there's really no cars. There's some service vehicles like the phone company.
Oh, I see. So, but they don't, do they allow on any kind of vehicles? I mean, I can't imagine, like, I'm just like what do you call the things like that they go on, like dune buggies or anything like that?
No, not really dune buggies, but they have electric carts that are sort of like service vehicles. You'd see almost like a factory. And then
they
have...
But not for personal use, you mean?
They're not. They're really for, like, deliveries. And then they have real trucks that people need to bring in equipment, phone companies, electric companies. They have trucks that can drive on sand. But, like, there's really no Mazda driving around. There's really no streets. They don't have asphalt streets. So you'd have a special permit, and some people drive in, especially in the winter, to bring in supplies. But everything else comes by boat. Everything comes by boat, and they're sort of industrial ferries that bring over everything, and then all the garbage and everything leaves out on boats.
And so, in other words, when the ferries come over, it's all like walkable distance, where regardless of what beach you're going to, or I'm not clear. Like, I understand, is it?
Yeah, each town is probably no more than 20 minutes from its epicenter walk. So some are much smaller. So you basically can leave, and it's just walkable. Some things are very walkable. Some things are not so walkable, especially if you don't walk a lot. And it's part of the charm. Some people have houses way away from town, and, you know, they just basically make do. It's part of the idea that you just have to walk everywhere and carry everything, and then they have these carts that basically people just drag along. And also these little electric carts deliver bigger things like groceries and furniture and whatnot.
Oh, I see.
So that is all part of a backdrop of an unusual place for a weekend where everybody's kind of stuck together. And when you get there on Friday and you leave on Sunday, you sort of start to see the same people, especially in my story. There's an ex-boyfriend, and all of a sudden the ex-boyfriend is, as you get off the ferry, then at happy hour, which they call tea, then he's at the store. It's very, very much like that because it's so small. All of a sudden you're seeing the same person over and over, and that really leads to drama and resolution.
Have you guys written any other shows prior to this?
This is the first show that I wrote. The director co-wrote it with me, Jeremy Wechter, and he has written screenplays for film. But definitely our first musical, along with the man who wrote the music with me, who's Rob Arbello. So three newbies and putting it together on a lot of work, and it's a lot of fun. The show is got a lot of reviews about being a lot of fun, a lot of surprises, and a lot of unique scenarios with costumes and dance.
That's great. How do you guys handle publicity?
Well, we had some sponsors that ran a lot of email stuff. It's almost been all online and on the apps. We had a really big deal with Grindr, which is one of the main apps for gay men to date and meet. And so we were on a lot of people's iPhones and iPads. We had Facebook ads and tweeted, and we did it mostly on email blasts. So a lot of people have been hearing about it, just really almost all online, and then we had those postcards that you print up, and we put them everywhere we could. So it's been a lot of word of mouth, and, you know, hopefully your listeners can come in and take an evening off. It's really a lot more drama than I might be leading up to. It's a lot more thinking about finding love, finding maybe a lover who's difficult, but in the end it's somebody that is there for you. So
in putting this together, did you consider about the same-sex marriage being in New York?
Yeah, I don't want to give it away, but it definitely touches on a lot of issues, one of which is same-sex marriage, which is new in New York, and it definitely politically goes there. It discusses it. It's not the focal point of the show, but it's definitely part of a weekend discussion. Among other things, it touches on a lot of topics. It doesn't make resolutions. It goes to discussion level in many topics that are prominent in the world. Gay marriage, whether you should be using steroids, whether you should be doing plastic surgery. There's a lot of whethers you should, not it's good or bad. It's a lot of presentation of issues, along with the age-old who should you go with in life, what life's about.
Right. But I guess what I'm asking is that as you were doing the show, there was a point, I guess, like when you first started, when it was being written, the law wasn't in effect.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden now the law in effect, did you make any changes because of the law in effect, or you just kind of left it?
Fortunately, the way it's written, it was effective either way, and hopefully it'll be timeless. Hopefully there'll be more equality in the whole country. But, I mean, it's written in a way that even if things change, people will still for a long time have different opinions on it. So it's written a little timeless. Fortunately, the law did change, and it does fit right into the dialogue. But I don't want to give it away. People have to come see it and see.
No, I was just curious as to whether it, you know, made a difference in terms of what you wrote.
Yep. Got to leave it the way it was and got to stick with the theory that, of course, it's pro-gay marriage. That's for sure. Definitely pro.
Of course, and my feeling regarding New York is they would, I just kept on saying, boy, are these people stupid, not passing the law. Everybody's running off to Connecticut. They're spending money in Connecticut. Are they absolutely out of their minds?
Yeah, well, I mean, times like this are a-changing, as they say, and the show actually presents two sides to the story, even within the fact that it's all gay characters. As I said, each of these small issues are presented on both sides. They don't really sit there and tell you what to do. So definitely with gay marriage, that issue is definitely brought up, and I think it will reflect society. Even if there was a huge mammoth decision, people will still think for a long time about this issue, and that's why we wrote the show.
Mm, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Also, let me ask you, as I said, because since I've never gone, does the ferry, is there more than one ferry landings that go out to the island?
Yeah, it's really kind of unique. I mean, there's piers on most of the towns, and every town has a different topography, geography. Some are long piers, some are sort of like moorings, and then Fire Island Pines has actually, how about environmentally incorrect is this? In the 60s, somebody came along and just dug out a whole harbor, just like it was the south of France. And so every town has a different entry point, and they all kind of look a little different from that. And each one has a different ferry, and then there's different sizes ferries because some towns are big and some are small. And then there's water taxis that run usually at night, where you can take them between the towns. So there's a lot of different transportation that's sort of the abnorm from cars and trains. It's sort of really little water taxis and then big and small ferries, and everybody kind of has a way to connect, but there's really a disconnect, especially when it gets to like 10 o'clock on a Saturday night. Whoever's in Fire Island basically on a 10 o'clock on a Saturday night, you're pretty much where you're going to be, and those are the crowds and those are the pickings. So the ferries kind of come in and out all day, and it adds a charm to it. You look up and you're like, oh, the ferry's here. So, and new people come in and out.
I guess what I'm trying to figure out is there with this one, let's say, and I guess I'll say the landing in New York, in New York, on the land, is it Bay Shore, I believe?
One is in Bay Shore, one is in Sayville, and I think there's a couple of small other ones for Point of Woods where you can leave even farther out. But the two main ones are Bay Shore and Sayville, and they have really like a seaside sort of feel to them where you kind of get on and you wait around and your expectations build about going away. And then, boom, you have a 20-minute water ride. So it sort of makes you think about really being away because you have to kind of cross a water. And then you come into Fire Island. And there are definitely Fire Island mavens and lovers. It springs forth every spring. And every week it gets busier and busier and busier until like about July 4th to Labor Day when it's just packed with people all looking to be away from the city for the weekend. And then it kind of just wanes and dies off, just like the seasons. And it has every week a different aesthetic to it. There's different people every week, some same people. The flowers and all that change. It has seasons. And then, of course, the deer. The deer are running around all over the place, like sort of like in a petting zoo, but they're not fenced in. They just kind of run around, and they look right at you, and they stand a few feet from you. And so it has an animal charm to it too. That's kind of different.
And what about is Fire Island like for gay guys, or would you find women there, or is it pockets, or how is that?
Yeah, Fire Island is 15 towns, and I mean some are really pretty predominantly families, some are traditionally older, some are traditionally like Ocean Beach is really for like a lot of people in their 20s and 30s, straight, doing share weekends on their own. And then the two towns, Fire Island, are predominantly gay. So it's definitely not for gay men. There's a lot of gay men in Fire Island and the Pines, but it's a lot of different kinds of people. There's definitely a lot, but each town sort of has its different aesthetic, just like different neighborhoods are more Italian or more Asian or, certain parts of every city are more gay. It's definitely how Fire Island runs because each ferry kind of makes you connected to its own little town. So each one has its sort of different I'm not going to say ethnicity, but sort of its own age group and sexuality is how it's really kind of breaks out. But there, of course, like in the middle of an Italian neighborhood and in a big city is a Chinese restaurant family. So you have the same thing going on.
So but you wouldn't say it's a place, let's say, that a large lesbian community.
Oh, there's definitely a large lesbian community, usually in Cherry Grove, and then there's some in Fire Island. And I'm sure there's lesbians in other towns than the two. It's definitely people that like the beach. That's
okay.
A big thing.
In other words, Cherry Grove looks like the place that the women would.
Cherry Grove is definitely a beautiful town. It's bigger, in a sense, than the Pines, and it's bigger than a lot of the other towns. A lot of people go out to Cherry Grove to go to dinner. Like, they'll take the water taxi over. It's just with Cherry Grove, the houses are not as big and there's not as many places to stay. So it's a lot more people that like to go for the day. And a lot of, I would call them longer term people that have been there going a long time because they kind of get into the groove and it's not as big. And it's definitely like more of like a seaside. I call it very close to being in New England. When I'm in Cherry Grove, I always think I'm like way out, like Provincetown. That's the kind of feel because it's older and it's got a lot of long-term people. It's been there since the 20s. So Fire Island and the Pines is sort of, even though it's like a mile away, they all have similarities and differences.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely a lot of New England-ish aspects to it all, though, when you're talking about seaside.
Okay, that's great. Well, I guess Jeremy will have to, like, email me, huh?
Yeah, Jeremy will have to come in, but he definitely was critical in getting the play to a point where 1 minute you have yelling, and then 5 minutes later you have kissing and love. And it's definitely a moving story that he helped create. The music was helped create by Rob Robello and me, and the music is really what people should be coming for. It's a lot of fun, energetic dancing set to music. It's a musical, and it's something that I hope people can come to, and I'm sure they're going to leave saying, you know, my life can be basically a little bit better, you know. That's what we want. And it's playing from now until November 20th, Wednesdays through Saturdays at 7 p.m., Sunday matinees at 3. And tickets start at $40, and you can read all about it at www.littlehouseontheferry.com.
Okay, that's absolutely great. Well, then I'm going to leave everybody with hearing the Fire
Island. And you're
going to
come
Island.
See the show? You're in New York?
I'm in Queens.
All right.
As I say, people ask me if I'm from Queens, and I say, no, my folks are straight.
I'm from Queens.
Don't you get?
Yeah.
People ask me if I'm from Queens.
Queens. Right.
And I say, no, my folks are straight.
And then my answer was, I'm from Queens, so I get it.
Oh, okay.
Forest Hills. Yeah.
Oh, I'm in Woodhaven.
Oh, Woodhaven's very nice. You got two trains, though. I only had one train.
Okay. So, as I say, I'm going to leave everybody listening to the theme song.
Which is
Fire
completely
Island.
Available for free at the website. Completely can download the original version.
Okay.
Great.
All right. Thanks a lot, Robert.
You too. Bye-bye.
And bye.
Work is over. Was so mundane. Left the city. I took a train. A destination is on my brain. Beach and sun and waves.
And waves. someone staring right back at me. He'll say hello. I wanna be kissed and hug and touch and touch it. I'll say, hey stranger, don't play no game. Around this heart, just play your claim. Already burning, so fan the flames. I'm in gear, I'm cruising here, 'cause we're on fire. Island, tell everyone you know that there's a place to go. On fire, island, a weekend holiday where we can get away. Fire, island, yeah, in the certain sense you'll find yourself a man. On fire, island, the rules are redefined.
Okay, enough of beach. Hey, Norm, how you doing? Oh, hi, Norm, how you doing?
Doing great.
Clicked the wrong thing. Oh. Now that we've finished talking about the beach, let's go up to Portland. By the way, for dinner, I'm making lobster mac and cheese.
Oh, excellent.
They sent me a couple of pounds of the shucked meat. So it's the knuckles and claw meat.
Oh, okay. So John from Shuck sent you that?
Yeah.
Excellent. That was fun. That was a fun day.
Wasn't that? Yeah. That was I took you places you've never been to.
That's true. You know what was most interesting?
What?
Your galoshes.
I am so sorry that I don't know what happened with the photos. I'm so upset.
Oh, I understand. And, of course, I wasn't thinking about, you know, sort of backup photography, so I didn't take those kind
of
pictures.
I definitely would have wanted to have a shot of my of my boots. I forgot to in the blog. I forgot about that. I'll have to put that in the blog about my boots.
Oh yeah, people will want to know because actually, that's a helpful hint if people are out and about in a situation in snow and water and mud season or whatever, and they don't have boots. I mean, it works.
Yeah. Especially for me, since I'm always wearing sandals.
Yeah, exactly. You needed something.
Yeah. So now we're going to go to Portland. I finally get to talk about Portland. I couldn't get anybody to call in.
Oh, you know why? It's off season.
Oh no, this was before. Once we came back, back here, and I said, the heck with it. I'll just have Norm.
Yeah.
Norm and I will talk about the whole thing.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah. It was a wonderful 3 days.
Yeah, it was really nice. I liked the, other than the little problem with the hotel, everything was...
everything was fine.
Yeah. Elevator? How do you mean there's no elevator? And you couldn't tell me because why? But anyway, so we started off. Let's reminisce. So we started off going to off to Kennebunkport. That was the first day.
Exactly, which was a real. I mean, and still, that's the thing I talk about the most, and I tell people the most about is Earth. I love going. It's like you should visit Earth. It's a wonderful place to be.
Yeah, I know. I still have to write the. Write the article, The Good Earth.
yeah, exactly, yeah.
I'm glad you got those photos at least.
Oh, yeah, I had more of that than anything because I think I was just so surprised. I didn't know what to expect because I'd never heard of it, and this was their first year in business, and I think it was a successful year, so I'm really looking forward to going back next year and taking friends as well as potential customers.
Yeah, what I thought was so great. I mean, is having a restaurant that gives you different kind of atmospheres to be eating in.
Right, and the gardens right there.
Yes, and yes, and to watch the chefs come out and pick the food for your dinner.
Exactly.
That was so cool.
Yeah, in fact, this weekend. I just had dinner with friends at a place in Portland, and there was actually a flower on my dinner plate, and guess what? I ate it. I didn't even ask. I just ate it because after we had gone to Earth, I knew it was okay to eat whatever's on the plate.
So you knew it was an edible flower?
Yeah, I knew it was, or it wouldn't have been there.
Well, sometimes they do that, and it's not an edible, but...
they better not do that to me.
It's funny because I remember where I was, but I was commenting. I said, "Oh, that's an edible flower. Taste it." And then I said, "Well, let's make sure." And the waitress says, "Oh no, it's not edible." And I went, "Oh, all right. I don't know why they put it on the damn plate then for me."
Really, I hear you.
Yeah. But anyway, so was that the first thing we did? No.
It is. We went there for lunch the first day. I mean, basically.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, we had to drive there because we had to find it. It was it's in the Gooch's Beach area, but it was out in the boonies, which just made it absolutely spectacular. It was so beautiful.
Oh, yeah. And then after that, we went into Kennebunkport, right?
Yeah.
To the town. Yeah, we're going, I have to eat now that I ate.
Yeah, right. So we went into Dock Square, which is downtown Kennebunkport, where there's multiple restaurants and lots of shops, and, I mean, it's just a fun place to be. But you wanted to go to the Clam Shack.
Yeah, because we were directed to do that.
And you know why? Because the Clam Shack wins awards every year as being one of the best places in New England for lobster roll and fried clams. And I agree. It's wonderful.
Oh, yeah. The food there was great. I would have been better if I was hungry, though.
Yeah. True.
I'll have it to go. Thank God I had a refrigerator and a microwave in my room.
True. Too much food. But you know what? That's what Maine is all about. Did you know that, and actually I've read this, that Portland specifically has more restaurants per capita than any other state or any other city other than San Francisco.
Really?
And they're all top-notch.
Wow.
Yeah.
And I didn't even eat of all of them yet. I just have to go back.
You'll have to come back. There's just so much. Yep.
I was just indulging in the lobster.
Oh, I know.
As much as possible.
And, you know, that's what my customers, that's what they're all about. It's about lobsters and lighthouses. And it's, you know, it's a treat. It's an absolute treat to come to Maine.
Before I get into also what we did, also, because this is the part... Now that I dragged you around, then there's the part that you do about telling us a little about the history and stuff like that. So I'll let you tell us a little bit of that.
Okay, that's what was so neat, because I mean that's what I do, is I give private tours, and for most people I start with a historical landmark tour of Portland, and I really give some history about what people are seeing and the history of Portland, and that's, you know, and that's very, it's interesting, but it's very scenic as well, with Portland being a peninsula and having such an old history, being founded in 1632. So, you know, it's very interesting, and there's a lot of things to see and experience in Portland as well. But then the entire, and really the coast, but I take people inland, and we see covered bridges, so you really can experience New England just exactly the way you see it on postcards. And the best way to do that is with a private tour, so that we can do what you want to do, when you want to do it, at the pace you want to do it. You know, it's not the, you know, the normal bus tour, even though we do private bus tours as well, not just the small groups as well.
Mm. Well, that's good to know.
Yeah, so it's just a, you know, it's a great place to come.
So in Kunnebunkpoor, we looked at what's-his-face's house from a distance.
Yeah, for George Sr. and Barbara Bush. And actually, we had good weather, because I was there later. Well, I guess it was first part of October. I was there with a bus. Actually, it was a bus tour. And we ended up driving by it twice because it was so foggy, we couldn't see it. We couldn't see the peninsula that they're on, Walker's Point. We couldn't see the house. We saw nothing, absolutely nothing. It was absolute. I've never seen fog that thick before.
Wow.
So when we were there, what did we have, 3 days? The weather was really quite good the entire 3 days.
Oh, yeah, we had
Yeah, and that's what we're having right now. We're having spectacular. We're having September weather right now in November. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, so we got here, it's like in the 50s, and I think tomorrow's going to be like 62.
Yeah, same here.
You're getting that too?
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah, bright skies with sun. Absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah, well, let's suck it up. And
I know. I'm planning on sitting out on the deck tomorrow afternoon and having a little Pinot Grigio.
Oh, okay.
That's my plan for tomorrow.
I don't blame you. So, okay. So then we went, after that, we didn't do dinner that night, did we?
Nope. We took that evening off.
So.
Yep.
I don't think we're doing dinner. So let's see. So then that was the next day that we went to Shucks, which is in Richmond.
Right. So that was more of a drive, but actually it was a pleasant drive. I was surprised because I'd never been there. I'd never heard of Shucks. I'd never heard of Richmond. So that was a new adventure for me.
And then, and because we didn't eat there, thank goodness.
I know, we were saving our lobster treat for Red's Eats in Wiscasset.
Yes, Red's?
Red's Eats. You know what I liked about, you know what I liked best about Shucks? I mean, it was all very interesting. I love that the fact that they did not have a name on the building. There was no address. They had a lobster buoy by their door.
Right, yeah.
That was it. That was how they identified themselves to the world. And I thought that was so unique and just really neat.
Yeah. I wanted to, I'm hoping I'll have John call in because I want him to explain the whole process of what they do. Because, like, I have, I got to tell you, every restaurant I've been going to that serves lobster, I've been telling, if you want to get the raw meat and this way and blah, blah, blah. And so they're all, you know, looking into it.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's going to catch on. I mean, that has the potential to just really grow worldwide. It's unbelievable what they're doing, and it's so unique. And it's a way to get lobster shipped without having to ship live lobster, but you get the whole lobster, which is just amazing. So it's never been done before.
Yeah. What interested me, I guess, when John and I were having a conversation, he said, well, you don't get frozen steaks. When you go to a restaurant, you expect them to have a fresh steak.
Right.
And you don't have frozen steaks. So it's true. Why have cooked lobster? Because that's, you know, and I never really thought about the fact that, like, when you're getting, when you go and unless the place is serving live lobsters.
Right.
When
right.
you're
Which,
getting lobster tails, they're just reheating them, basically.
Right. Yeah, exactly. But to get a live lobster is expensive because of the travel, because you've got a very limited amount of travel time. So you've
right.
got to get them very quickly. You know, you've really got to get them there quickly.
Yeah, unless you're in an area like, you know, an area where they have the lobsters.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Otherwise,
so,
if you're in Omaha, you're going to get lobster tail, frozen lobster tail, and that's about as good as it's going to get. Anything else is going to be, you know, extremely expensive because they've got to buy it a first-class ticket to get it there overnight.
Right. You know, I never realized, and I never realized why I don't like lobster tails.
Oh,
because
it's not fresh.
Because it doesn't taste fresh, and I didn't, you know, if I want a lobster tail, I want it from the lobster. I want to see the lobster.
Yeah, good point. I mean, of course, with me just living right here on the coast, you know, I don't think
oh.
of it other than just live lobster, just because it's so available. But I remember, you know, it's like when I lived in Texas, it was like there was no, you know, there was no lobster.
Sure.
You know, not back in the 60s and 70s.
So we also, oh, yeah, you had your first time you were on a Segway.
Oh, I did. Wasn't that
another
fun?
Another first.
Yeah.
You did very well.
Yeah, I did. I really enjoyed that. I'm looking forward to doing that again. And I can't tell you how many people that I had, customers that I suggested, you know, because they're always looking for other things to do. You know, when they have several days in the Portland area, it's like, you really should take the Segway tour. It is just a ton of fun. It's informative, too, but more so, it's just fun. And old
Did
people
you...
like me, I mean, I just I just jumped right on there, didn't I?
Yes. I don't say I was surprised, but I was, that's not the word. It's not
saying
I surprised because I thought you'd never be able to do it. But the surprise was how quickly.
Yeah, I was surprised because I was prepared, at least mentally prepared, to try it and then just say, I can't do this. But, boy, I don't know. It was easy. I was amazed. It was easy.
Yeah, it's kind of like if you get what makes it tick.
Yep.
That's what it's about.
Right. Well, they did a very good job of explaining exactly.
Oh, yeah, that too.
You know, they really did a good job of explaining it to me as to, you know, when you lean, you know, side to side or forward or backward, what was going to happen. And sure enough, it didn't take much, and that's exactly what happened. So I thought they did a really good job with the training session.
So and I guess I have to ask you because I don't remember. What historic places did we hit while doing
it? Yeah, when we left there, we went down 4th Street, and we went by some of the older buildings. What did we go by? We went by the Custom House, and then we went down to Commercial Street, and we went down to Fort Allen Park, and then we got on, and then we actually went on the Eastern Trail, along the whole Eastern Prom, which was really quite nice.
Now, what in terms of for people who are into history, which I'm not, for people into history.
Oh, yeah, and see, that was the part of Portland where the original founders George Cleve and Richard Tucker, that's where they actually found Portland in 1632, was right in that area where we were. So that would have been in the 1600s, that was the center of town.
Was Portland ever supposed to be the capital or something?
No. Oh, it was. Yeah, Portland became a state. Portland became a state. Maine became a state. Keep me on track here. Maine became a state in 1820, and Portland was the capital until 1832. So the Western Prom, remember the big mansions on the Western Prom, the big mansions? That's where the Capitol building would have been built, except the people of Maine wanted the Capitol moved to Augusta because it was more centrally located in the state. And so that's what happened in 1832.
Oh, okay.
But it's a beautiful area. It would have been a beautiful area. I mean, Augusta's beautiful too, and it's on the river. But, you know, remember how high up the Western Prom is, overlooking the Four River, and then you see the airport, of course, down there now as well. But a beautiful area.
Yeah, I never get to did a boat, though, huh?
No, I've not done that either.
I'll have to do that when I get back.
Yeah.
Yeah, the thing about I wanted to comment. The thing about Red Eats.
Oh yeah, yep. Wasn't that lobster wonderful?
I mean, you talk minimum a pound and a half of meat.
Oh yeah, easily.
It
was huge.
And it was like what, $18?
Yeah, which is $17 to $23 is what you buy a lobster roll any place. And for that price, normally you get like a half, you know, probably a three quarters of a pound of lobster or a half pound of lobster. You get a small lobster roll. And there you say, Red Eats are the largest lobster rolls you get for the smallest price that you can pay.
And no fillers.
No fillers. It's all just lobster. And
oh,
it was fresh. It was fresh lobster too. It was
amazing. I was commenting in my blog. It's they don't cook up the lobsters, but they're getting the fresh cooked meat.
Right. They're having that done for them, which actually makes sense because, you saw the line. That line never stopped.
And it's only a jack.
Yeah, exactly. They are, I mean, I can't even imagine how many pounds of lobster they go through every day because the line of customers just is never ending. Yep.
And for anybody who wants to go there, there's antiquing too. So you have something else.
Wiscasset is the self-proclaimed prettiest little village in Maine, and they have over 20 antique stores in that small town as well. So it's a wonderful place.
Yeah. And we also ate at the Italian place, Cinque Terre.
Yeah, that was northern Italian,
I think you said.
Yeah, we tried. I mean, they really served us a lot of different things, and all I remember is it was all very good.
Yeah, I had written an article about in the Italian newspaper about that and the society and the gelato place.
Oh yes,
gorgeous gelato.
Well,
Have you been back there?
I have. I actually went back. And actually, I just last week I had some customers, and they were spending several days in Portland. And I said, have you ever had gelato? And it's like, no. And it's like, you've got to go here. You've got to have it. You've got to try it. It is absolutely to die for. And as you know, I had no clue what gelato was. I'd never heard of it. Didn't know what it was. And it's the best thing since sliced bread.
I wish I could get some around here, but what can you do? I got a chocolate show to go to on Thursday.
Oh, okay. That'll be interesting.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, chocolate's nice. Actually, the chocolate gelato was very nice.
Oh, yes. I think there's a gelato company that's going to be there. And I already called them up and said, do you use the hot process or the cold process? And they said the cold process.
Okay.
So I'm gonna taste it and I'll know whether it's the real thing.
Yeah. Because like you said, this was the real thing. Gorgeous gelato is like the real gelato. Well, and Donato, the owner, and his wife, they're recently from Italy, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they haven't been here that long. But they came over and they opened a store in Portland and started just right away.
Yeah.
So I think they've done quite well. Again, I think this was their first year of being in business as well.
Mm.
So
we got the virgins, huh?
Yeah, so I'm sure that will continue to do well because they have a great location as well. They're on 4th Street.
Yeah.
And it's always about location.
Then I think the last place we went to was Portland Lobster Company. As if we didn't have enough lobster.
I know. Just to make sure that we knew exactly how much lobster we were going to have and try everyone's. And actually, that was very good as well. And Ethan gave us, remember Ethan? He gave us a lot of information about what they did and how they did. They were, and in fact, I was going to take some people this past weekend, but they had already closed for the season. Because he had said they were going to try to stay open into early November, but I think that big snowstorm right before Halloween
knocked out everybody. Yeah,
that just knocked everything. I mean, at that point, everyone gave up and said, "Okay, season's over."
Yeah.
Which is understandable.
Well, then we had like lobster stew, clam chowder.
Oh, we had it all.
Yeah, just
it was
real
wonderful.
Good.
You know what's nice? Because that's the only place in Portland where you can actually eat lobster out on a wharf. So you're not, in a restaurant in Portland. You're out on the wharf, right at the water with the boats. And, it's a great way to have lobster.
Yeah, and you can be in your shorts or whatever.
Yeah, because you're right there on the wharf on a picnic table. But,
yep.
You know, they, and also during season, certainly most nights, but certainly Friday and Saturday night, they have live music there too all summer long.
I always like when they have live music because it's really like when corpses perform, it's really kind of not so great.
Yeah, it's not only just go and have great lobster, but it's an experience as well.
So now, in terms of what you do, can you think of like any of the oddest things that people have asked for you to take them to?
Oh, you know what? Probably the thing that surprised me the most, and this has happened a couple of times, is people that are very interested in genealogy and they are trying to track down their ancestors. And the most unusual that I had is I had a lady from Australia, and she came very specifically to Maine to track down the cemetery and gravesite of her great-grandparents. And she knew their name. Now, their name were John and Ann Richardson, so a very generic name. So it's like, okay, how are we ever going to find these people? But she knew they were in the Norway area of Maine, and that's northwest of Portland, about an hour. So she knew that. So I said, okay. So she had hired me to help her find this cemetery where they might be. So I said, well, let's go to the town hall in Norway, and we'll tell them what we're looking for. Well, they didn't know the name. They didn't know the Richardson name. That didn't mean anything to them. And I said, well, where is the local cemetery? And they said, well, we have two. So they gave me directions to both. Well, the first cemetery we went to, which was really pretty much just right there in the town, there was one grave there, and it was a Richardson, but it was not any name that she knew. But I told her, I said, well, take a photograph of the tombstone because you may find in your search that that is a relative. We just don't know it yet.
Right.
And then we went to the other cemetery. And, of course, it's her and a friend that came with her and myself. So we sort of divided. Thank goodness these cemeteries were relatively small. So we divided up the cemetery and said, okay, you start on this side, I'll start on this side, and we'll look for Richardson. So that's how we found the one. So then we went to the second cemetery, and oh, my gosh, we got there. It was the most beautiful sight. It was on a hillside overlooking a valley, absolutely gorgeous. Forest all around, just a beautiful area. And there was this huge stone, and I'm surprised that the people at Town Hall didn't tell us this or didn't know it, and the name of the cemetery was Richardson Hollow. And so there were many Richardsons there, and we found the grave, John and Ann, in the right. She knew the dates from. She knew of the approximate dates in the 1800s, so we had no problem finding their grave at all. And she had brought a small Australian flag, and she put it on the grave. And I think I was more emotional than she was, and it was just so wonderful. And then we found other. So there were many Richardsons there. So she was taking photographs of all the tombstones. And then as we were leaving the area, we're driving down. Of course, I'm just paying attention to the road. You know how the two-lane roads are in Maine?
Right.
Just little paths, more or less. And so we're driving along, and there's a house on the right. And she says, oh, it said Richardson on the mailbox. And I said, well, let's turn around. That might be, you know, that might be someone that knows. That might be a relative. It might be someone that knows more about them or the cemetery. It wasn't very far from the cemetery. And so we stopped, but they were not home. And so she left a note in their mailbox of who she was and gave them her email address, said she was here from Australia. And she sent me an email several months later that, in fact, they did return her email. They sent her an email, and they were relatives. So it was a shame that they weren't there. But yeah, they made the connection of yep, they had the same relatives in that cemetery. So it was pretty neat. So you just never know. I mean, there's all kinds of things other than just, you know, it's not just tourism and lighthouses and lobster. You know, there's many other things that people are interested in as well.
So now, do you get people like mostly off the boat, or how do you?
I do. I get people. Yeah. I'm open year round, so I do get people off season. You know, not a lot of people off season, but I've had people every month of the year that are here for either a business trip and they end up staying over a weekend or something like that. So they have some downtime and they want to check it out. I had actually a couple of years ago, I had a relatively young couple from Argentina, and they wanted to know if I was available on Christmas Day. They wanted to go to Booth Bay Harbor and see it because they'd always heard of it. And I said, well, I'm available, we can go, but just be aware, everything will be closed, everything. There will be no restaurants, there'll be nothing there whatsoever because it truly is a seasonal seaport town. But they wanted to go and see it, and we went and took photographs, and they just loved it. You know, they walked around. Of course, we had the whole town to ourselves.
But it was
a lot of fun. But my busiest time of the year is September and October, and that's with the cruise ships. So I do get a lot of cruise ship passengers, and those can be groups of 4 to 6 people, up to 50 people. So when that happens, I use my minivan for the small groups, but if I get a large group, then I just charter a bus with a bus driver and then provide the step-on guide, which might be myself, or I have several guides that work for me as well. And we did that. Actually, we did one of those this year where we included a lobster dinner as a package. So we did a whole package, and we took them down to Nubble Lighthouse in York and had a lobster. So it was a fixed-price lobster dinner for 50 people and a day of meandering the southern coast of Maine, which included Kennebunkport as well. So they had a great time, so it was a lot of fun. So I think
cool.
I might do that some more, where I put a package together, because I had never done that before. Usually it's like, you know, I just take people and they go to lunch wherever they want to go to lunch. But this was an interesting thing to do, is put a package together. So it worked out well.
Good, I'm glad.
And it's all about listening to the customer. What is the customer, you know, what are they looking for? What do they want to do? And
sure.
You know, I'm just always totally flexible.
Now, one thing which I didn't have any opportunity to see, but so I'm just going to ask you, theater. Is there theater in
in Portland?
I was about to call it Lobsterville in Portland.
Yeah. there is actually the Portland Stage Company. It's a very small venue, and they do absolutely wonderful. And they actually have live theater, and it's year round. And I go and with friends, and usually we go several times a year because it's a lot of fun. But it's sort of up close and personal live theater. That's just great. But then there's also a lot of venues for music venues as well, which I don't tend to do, but those are very popular in Portland as well. So you don't, even though Boston's only 2 hours away. You really don't have to go to Boston either, unless you're going to a big event.
Right. Oh, then wait a minute. Didn't we also see something about the biggest map or something?
Oh, we did. We saw the world's largest globe. That was in Yarmouth, just north of Portland. That's about 15 minutes north of Portland at DeLorme. And they're a map company, and they do printed maps as well as mapping software. And they have built the largest globe, which is like a three-story tall globe on the front of their building, which is the entire front is all glass, so you can see the globe in there, which is it's tilted and it's also turning at the same rates as the Earth based on its size. There's a word for that, and I'm not recalling it right now. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Which is really pretty neat. And, you know, when I take people, and a lot of customers, you know, I don't know if they're, you know, I know, you know, so usually I'll find out as the day goes on, you know, they might be a dentist or they do this or that. But so many times I have taken people there and then I have found out that they're teachers and they absolutely love it and they wish they were close enough that they could bring their students there. Especially grade school.
Mm. So I think we kind of covered all of what we saw, right?
I think we did, yeah. Which was really quite a bit.
Oh, yeah, it certainly does. It was a jam-packed 3 days.
It was.
That's for sure.
It was, yeah, it certainly was. But what was neat is I got to show you the things that I know and the history and the landmarks of Portland and the area and the lighthouses. We went to Portland Headlight as well, which is Maine's oldest lighthouse, the second oldest lighthouse in the United States, that was lit in 1791 and commissioned by George Washington.
Oh, right, I didn't put it in my blog.
Yeah.
When did we do it? Was that the last day?
That was the last day that we did. We sort of finished up everything that day.
Oh, okay.
And
I guess I didn't write that down in my notes. I'll have to put a little note here. What was it called? The what?
So Portland Headlight. Three words. Portland Head, H-E-A-D, Light.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's actually in Cape Elizabeth, but it's only 15 minutes outside of Portland. And actually they say that is the most photographed lighthouse in the world. And I've read they get over 2 million visitors a year there.
So
the most photographed lighthouse in the world. And many people that I take there, they instantly recognize it. They've never been there, but they recognize it because they've seen it, and it's on so many puzzles, you know, those kinds of things.
Right.
you know. So it's like people instantly
recognize.
That's
another photo I don't have, right.
Yeah. So I got to show you all the things that I really enjoy and enjoy showing people. But then you got to really show me some and experience some things in Port or in Maine, I guess, just really outside of Portland that I just didn't know about. You know, like Earth, I'd never heard of it. It was their first year, but you know, it's like Earth and Shucks
and gorgeous gelato.
And gelato. I mean, it's
right.
Like, you know, I was learning
and
as much as
tour.
I was showing. And the Segway.
And the Segway. Actually,
yeah. So it was the whole trip was an adventure for myself as well.
Good. No, what's really great is that then you can pass these on.
Oh, and I do.
To people.
Yeah.
You know, that's
yeah.
Which is why I dragged you.
Yeah, exactly. And believe me, I've done. In fact, I've told. I just can't even tell you how many people I've told about the Segway. It's like you just got to go do it. You know, take some time. You know, take an hour and a half and go do the Segway. It's just so much fun.
Yeah. Well, I guess I'm going to try. No, I'm going to complete the blog today. Oh, no, wait a minute. It's Monday. Oh, well, I was going to complete the blog today, but I have an article due for Thursday. So I guess I'll complete the blog tomorrow.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And
you're going to
work on my article for this week instead today.
Okay, sure.
So.
You're going to throw some pictures out there?
Yes, I will. I'll get them into the blog, and then I'll be able to put it up eventually.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, tell me about Esther and Eunice. How are they doing?
Oh, Esther and Eunice are doing absolutely fine.
Oh, good. Good.
Yes.
They had a great time. Yeah.
They had a great time. But I have to, the show is going to end in about a minute. So I'm going to have to thank you for calling in.
Well, thank you.
Have a great week. And as I said, I'll get to do some writing, and you'll see your name all over the place.
Okay, great.
And
okay.
I'll spell it correctly, too.
Okay.
Okay.
I appreciate it. It was. We certainly had a lot of fun. I enjoyed it a lot.
Did.
Yeah.
All right. Great. Thanks a lot, Norm.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
And yes, so we will now, and here's...